charming lot.
So welcome, my darklings, back to the Charmed Pot in my little parlor. And today we're doing something a little bit different. We're interviewing the wonderful monster artist and caricaturist, Bob Lizarraga. Laid off of the greatest show on earth, Monsterpalooza. So tell us a little about what happened at Monsterpalooza. How'd that go for you?
It's the best one for me yet. Thanks for asking. It's always intense and kind of a labor of love. But boy, the last one, I was overwhelmed. It's good to bring new stuff every year because I have a lot of returning customers, which is terrific. So it was very great. It was really good. Thanks.
Tell me a little bit about how you got into illustration and all of that, because you've got this wonderful niche market in kind of monster kid, old school horror illustrations. I mean, I was looking at your website to sort of refresh my memory, and you've got these beautiful illustrations of Gomez and Morticia and some of the stuff from the Twilight Zone and all of these just great things that are, you know, kind of touchstones for those of us who grew up as monster kids, those of us of a certain age.
So, what do you mean?
29, of course. Of course. So, like, how did you start to get interested in that? Was like, was there a parent or a sibling who got you into it, or were you just like one of those people who just was watching Channel 52?
I was dropped on my head, you know. No, you know, it's interesting you ask that because there's some things I can't explain why I love monsters. My earliest memory is probably seeing the cover of Famous Monsters of Filmland magazine in the store, or watching Frankenstein versus the Wolfman on, again, it was probably KTLA way back when.
Right.
So the minute that I saw this kind of thing, I just immediately fell in love with the grotesque and monster faces and anything. You know, it's the kind of thing you don't learn. You just immediately gravitate towards. And then my mother, fortunately, also liked those movies. She liked scary movies and horror movies. So sometimes we'd watch them together. And I think in that context, I never became frightened. I never was scared. So I think in that safe environment, you know, in the living room with the small box of a TV watching monster movies, I just learned to love it. And then I started drawing. I started to try to draw them. So that's my earliest recollection. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it does. It actually does. Okay. Now, were you one of those kids that bought the Aurora models and did all
everything?
That kind of
I
thing?
I am truly one of the typical monster kids. Probably the height of the monster craze was a little before, you know, I got into it, but it was still around in a big way. So yeah, the Aurora monster models, I had them all, and I built them, painted them, and then, you know, broke them and bought them again and built them and paint them and broke them. And because I never took care of my stuff, never took care of my toys. And anything, I had the Green Ghost board game and Kabbalah. And, you know, it goes on and on and on and on. And just there was so much to feed that love of monsters in the stores. You know, I drove my folks crazy with that stuff.
Where do you get your illustration chops from? I mean, you started drawing when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And clearly that had to have gone through high school and then in college, or did you, I mean, where did you go to school? How did you make that a career?
Well, again, luckily for me, I was encouraged to do it by mainly my mother. My father was a little more of a realist and kind of indifferent. I think he just went along. I was the first artist in my family. There really wasn't any before me. My older brothers and my father were machinists. I think when I was a kid, the only artists making any kind of news were Charles Schulz and Walt Disney, and that was about it. So when I told him I wanted to be an artist, my dad probably just went, "Oh man, well I don't want to discourage him, but you know." So I didn't really start to take any formal kind of art training until high school, I guess. Or no, I'm sorry, junior college. And that's when I tried a little bit of this and that to see what I didn't like. You know, I knew I wasn't going to be a graphic designer. for instance, but only after taking the class and finding out I really hated it. Okay. And I was surrounded by cool art. There was TV Guide always in the living room too, and TV Guide had illustrations by some of the best caricature artists and illustrators, and they'd be illustrating the Munsters or the Addams Family or, you know, things like that. And so again, you know, I always thought I wanted to do that. I never did a TV Guide cover, but that was kind of like a little goal I had. I went, oh man, I just would love to do that someday. Yeah, well, and they used a lot of great illustrators, like Ronald Searle and Al Hirschfeld and those guys, Jack Davis.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about those guys for people who don't know.
Well, besides Famous Monsters of Film and Magazine, Mad Magazine was probably the other big influence on my life. And Mad had, of course, very twisted artists. It was great. You could buy one Mad magazine and see 30 different types of cartooning or caricaturing in the magazine. So if you didn't like one guy, you'd turn the page and there'd be Don Martin, or you'd turn the page and there'd be Jack Davis and Mort Drucker. And these are some of the best caricature illustrators. So I was very lucky, to have that visual stimuli. And somebody like Jack Davis, he did everything. I mean, the guy illustrated for Mad, but he also illustrated movie posters.
Oh, no kidding. Do you have any going on that?
Well, the movie Mad World is illustrated by Jack Davis. Mm-hmm. And he did TV Guide covers. So there would be, again, you know, he was everywhere. He did album covers. The guy is amazing. He just now, I think he's 92, I believe, and he's just now retired.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's now hung it up.
That's absolutely amazing. And I mean, it's really interesting because when you have that much of a fire for life and for what you do, it keeps you young forever.
You know, whenever I shuffle off the mortal coil, I want them to find me with a pencil or a brush in my hand, you know.
So I'm noticing a lot of the Outer Limits, Twilight Zone kind of influence.
Another huge television was, my God, it was everything from Martians to Genies to Monsters to the Twilight Zone, Outer Limits. It goes on and on and on. And those were, you know, Rod Serling is another incredible inspiration. So I've reached a point now where I believe I can pay tribute to that show, let's say, The Twilight Zone, but I don't want to just paint, you know, I don't want to just do a portrait of Rod Serling. I want to try to evoke or give it a twist, you know, like he did in his stories. And hopefully, you know, I'm successful with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely you are. And I mean, one of the things that I loved about Rod Serling is the spinoff of Night Gallery.
Yes, yeah, it's another one I loved.
Oh, right. My gosh, you know, and the I'm forgetting the name of the episode, but it is the episode with Roddy McDowell. With the cemetery.
Yeah, okay. That's one of the very first. That was in the pilot. It was
in the pilot.
Three stories. The pilot was a TV movie, and that was one of the stories. I think it's called The Cemetery. It was a really good one.
I think you're right. And one of the things that I think, even as a kid, now you know, I hadn't seen this particular episode, I mean, in 2 or 3 years, 20. 30. And then I saw it on YouTube, because a lot of these things are, you know, being born again on YouTube for the younger generation and all that kind of stuff. And
right.
I have to say, I was really very impressed by the paintings that they did for that particular episode. You know, the one of the cemetery that was there, and then, you know, suddenly the grave was open, and then there was somebody crawling out of it, and then there was somebody coming up the walkway, you know, and all that. I was just like, even as a little kid, I guess, you know, I was 6 or 7 years old when I saw this, and clearly my mom was taking a nap, because she would never have let me see that at that age. That kind of artistic talent of the physical motion, the suggestion of someone who was walking towards something, all of that, it so impressed me.
Yeah, and it didn't use a lot of special effects. It was just the camera cutting back and forth as the old man is approaching the door,
right,
and the painting changes.
Right.
But it left, because they didn't have a lot of a huge budget for special effects and stuff, same with The Twilight Zone, it left it to your imagination, which was more powerful, I think.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that you actually worked for Warner Brothers Animation Department at one time.
Yeah, I my full-time jobs mainly have been in animation as a character designer. So that's a great way to make a living. It pays well, but like a lot of entertainment entities, you get laid off when the project is done, and there can be anywhere from a few weeks to a few years of unemployment just because of the nature of the biz and also the competition. So Los Angeles, most of the big animation studios are here. So yeah, I've worked for Warner Brothers and Universal Cartoons, and right now I work at Disney. So,
oh, no kidding. What are you doing for Disney?
I'm designing characters for a show called The 7D, which is short for Seven Dwarfs. Okay. But it's done. It throws everything out the window. It doesn't really follow the rules of the old movie, which is great because I get to draw monsters and creatures and in a goofy way, kind of mixing humor and horror again. So yeah, right now, it's I'm just loving it. I'm loving the gig.
So now, what do you think of old school inking, color, and all that versus now you've got all these computer programs which allow people to make really beautiful stuff? I mean, what's your preference and why?
Well, I guess it depends on what we're talking about. For illustration, which is like for commercial illustration, I use digital. You know, I can do a drawing and then scan it and tweak it in Photoshop, for example, with my Cintiq, and you know, all of that's great, and it makes things go much faster, so the client gets the work quicker, and you know, you email back and forth, so it's all very convenient. So I think for illustration, you know, that's fine. I personally will do traditional paint on paper or canvas or something for what I call my fine art. You know, I want to offer an original painting, you know, to someone, something that cannot be duplicated easily, something that's just, and it's organic, it's more organic, you know. So that's where I differentiate, I guess.
So now you've been displayed at the gallery at Halloween Town. Do you enjoy doing those sorts of shows? I mean, what's your favorite venue to be in?
Well, right now, it's nice to be asked to do a gallery show. I'm at the point now where I'm actually turning away a couple of requests because I'm too busy or I can't meet their deadline. But it's great because most of the time, the theme is something I'm really into, like Creature Features, for example, in Burbank. Is a store and a gallery, and they had about five or six shows at least last year, and I was in most of them. And again, their themes were Planet of the Apes and Creature from the Black Lagoon anniversary, and they had Raleigh Crump there, who was a designer for the Haunted Mansion. So all their themes, I when they tell me, I just, oh yeah, you know. And it's great to have a kind of a deadline, because it gets me off my ass, and I sit down and paint, and I don't know if I would be as prolific or I'd have as much work if I were just left to myself. I think I definitely would paint, but probably not the amount of churning out finished works.
Yeah, you seem like you're pretty prolific.
Well, thanks. Again,
in a good way, but I mean that in a really good way. I mean, no, seriously, because I mean, there's some people who are really prolific, and it's just like the same thing over and over and over and over again. But what you offer, it's a little bit different every time. And yeah, I mean, I can look at a painting or an illustration, I'm like, okay, that's Bob.
But, well, thanks.
No, seriously, you've got a very distinctive style, and that's a great thing because you don't look like everybody else, you know, and that's just such a great thing to be able to do, to develop your own style.
Yeah.
And all that, and not look like, you know, what everybody else is doing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's okay to be influenced by stuff. I'm certainly have my influence, and you know, I mean, there was some saying that says it's nice. It's okay to borrow something. It depends where you take it to, though. And you know, so yeah, I just happen to love all their themes. And the toughest part is coming up with the angle or the idea. And so you could give me 2 months to do the painting, and I might not come up with the idea until a week before it's due. But once the idea, you know, once that drops in my head, that's kind of the toughest part right there is over. I'm like, yes! And it's an objective viewpoint. I tend to do things that I would want on my wall as well, you know, not just because somebody wants a mummy painting. But I do commissions, you know, from time to time if I like the theme. So, but yeah, it's all about just having fun, basically, and trying to create something that I dig, if that makes sense.
No, that totally makes sense. What kind of upcoming shows do you have?
In June, there's a show at, it's Rick Miller's Surf Club Gallery in Hollywood.
And oh, wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, that's kind of an extension of a show called Kapow, which is in Culver City in May, and that showcases two things, Barris Custom Cars, George Barris, and then also it's like an it's sort of like a prolonged anniversary celebration of the Munsters.
Oh my gosh, how did you get into that?
George Barris, you know, he designed the Munster coach, I believe. Yes. I hope I'm not wrong about that.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right about that.
So anyway, they are adding a second gallery show at the Surf Club Gallery, and that'll be in that's June 27th.
Super cool.
So I'm trying to you know get them make something for that second part.
Now you're going to be at Scare LA this year in August.
Yeah.
So I know for sure I'll see you then.
Okay, yeah, that was it. What did you think of it? I had a blast last year.
It was so much fun. Where can we find you on the web?
Oh, well, I the main website is boblizarraga.com, and Lizarraga is one Z, two R's.
Okay.
So that's the main one, and then the animation design site is lizarraga.net.
Oh, okay.
So I also have an Etsy store, and I'm all over the place. I'm obsessed with visual stuff, so I've got a Pinterest and a Tumblr as well.
Well, are there any other things that you might have wanted to say during this interview, Bob?
Not really. I mean, I just thank you very much. I'm very flattered that you would want to spend some time with me and talk to me about all this stuff. These conventions are amazing. I was thinking about earlier. It's you know, Halloween obviously is always my favorite holiday, but now, you know, Monsterpalooza's in the springtime and fall, uh-huh. And then Scare LA I think is in August.
Yes.
So it's when you go to these things, everybody dresses up. There's really high end costumes and makeup, and it's like having Halloween in March or something, which is even better. So I'm just so glad to be able to participate in these kind of things. Does that make sense?
It's like getting your fix.
Exactly. I'm getting my fix like four times a year now.
Well, on that chipper note, I think we'll end this wonderful interview. But Bob, thank you so much for taking your time to be with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunted Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.